Infringement. Are we talking just about willfulness, or are we talking about an on-sale bar?
Well, as...
Not an on-sale bar, but an infringement by being on sale?
Well, the challenge to the... We're talking about a challenge to the willful infringement finding, and the basis for that challenge is that under the jury instructions, the jury had to find pre-suit infringing conduct. The only pre-suit infringing conduct on which they could have based, alleged pre-suit infringing conduct on which they could have based that finding was the supposed offer to sell to Saudi Telecom.
Offer to sell what? This is a system.
Yes. It
consists of at least three cell site systems, one of which, each of which has an antenna, a converter, and a receiver, and then a central site system comprising other things. Was it an offer to sell all these things?
It was an offer
in the United States.
Well, there was no offer to sell in the United States, and that's the fundamental point. The offer to sell was made in Saudi Arabia.
And where was the sale?
The sale was in Saudi Arabia. But again, on the willfulness finding, the sale was post-suit conduct wherever it occurred. The pre-suit conduct, and under the jury instructions, there had to be pre-suit infringement. The alleged pre-suit conduct was the offer to sell. That clearly happened in Saudi Arabia. The facts are undisputed that the offer was communicated there. You've got to have communication for there to be an offer.
But it was originated in the United States.
Well, the offer was drafted in the United States, but Rotec makes quite clear that it's where the offer is communicated, because you don't have an offer until there is communication. To have an offer, it has to be something that can be accepted, and that can't happen until there's communication. So that's
we can consider the facts of Rotec were really quite different.
Well, they were different, but I don't think they were different in any relevant respect, Your Honor. There was substantial U.S.-based activity, in fact, even a meeting between a supposed representative of the offeree and the offeror in the United States. We don't even have that here. The evidence is just undisputed that the offer was delivered by hand delivery in Saudi Arabia. Could not have been accepted prior to that, so there was no offer prior to that.
Well, every case has a different set of facts, but let's take a look a little bit of how the offer needs to be communicated. What would happen if, in fact, the offer documents were prepared by email here in the United States, sent to an agent? The particular agent is in Saudi Arabia. And the agent is told...
The agent of the offeror, Your Honor.
The offeror.
Yes.
And the agent is told not to deliver the offer until he is so instructed. Mm-hmm. Is that offer made in Saudi Arabia, or is that offer made in the U.S.?
Offer is made in Saudi Arabia.
Why?
Because it was not communicated until to the offeree in the United States. Could not have been accepted prior to communication. That is the hallmark of an offer to sell. As this court made clear in a number of cases, including Rotec, normal contract law principles apply. They require communication. That is the essential hallmark of an offer to sell.
So I could generate all of the documents that are necessary here in the United States and then hold them by email somewhere else, offshore, through an agent, and there's no offer until that is communicated to the offeree.
Absolutely. That's
that
correct.
Present law, is that our law? Is that Supreme Court law also?
I believe that's your law, Your Honor. I don't know that the Supreme Court has spoken to the question, other than the general contract law principles apply to offers to sell in the patent context.
Well, I was going to change the subject. So if you want to pursue this a little more, proceed.
I wanted to ask, how is the Microsoft AT&T decision by the Supreme Court impact the issue of the offer?
I'm not sure that it does, Your Honor, other than it makes clear that when you're talking about extraterritorial effect of the statutes, they're to be construed narrowly in accordance with their strict language. Microsoft versus AT&T obviously involved the transmission of software overseas, not offer documents. And so I'm not sure, other than the general narrow interpretation principle, that it's directly applicable.
So even if the impact is within the United States, the impact is certainly not impacted by the patent laws. Patent laws are still limited to domestic limitations and not international limitations.
That's correct, Your Honor.